When I was a kid, I used to think I had a lot of time, but I didn't have any money. When I had money, I could do anything I wanted to. And I discovered once I got money, I didn't have time because I was so busy making money. And what I've discovered, most people do the same thing, and then they put their time into making money, and before they hit retirement age, they start losing their money because they got to spend their money on their health that they lost making their money. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
You have to have all three or it's not worth it. The golden years get a little tarnished if you don't have all three.
Okay.
And most everyone sooner or later will trade time and money for health. The key is do it on your terms. Be ahead of the eight ball, the curve, and know exactly what's going on. How's our health? How are we doing as a country health-wise? We certainly have some challenges, things that we probably didn't think about. In the 1900s, one out of seven died of heart disease. What do you think it is now? One out of two, just about. One out of two. Now, I hear people say, yes, but isn't heart disease, cardiovascular disease, isn't that genetic? Well, that just means those one out of seven multiplied much faster than the general population in the last few years, right? How about cancer? See, these are all genetic diseases, right? One out of nine had cancer in the 1900s. Now it's one out of three get cancer, and 80% of those who get cancer die of cancer. How are we doing on that one? They're populating faster than the general population too, obviously. How do we treat cancer? We treat cancer with radiation, surgery, and poison. And those are the three ways we treat cancer, right? Did you know it's against the law by the Business and Conduct Ethic Guideline of California to treat it with anything other than those three? People call them and they say, do you guys treat cancer? Absolutely not. I don't want to ever treat cancer. But I'll tell you what we do. In fact, I wrote it in the two books. One, we try to find the cause of cancer. Because it's an amazing thing. If one out of three get cancer and 80% die of cancer, that's a 20% success rate. Isn't that sound about right? They don't measure it that way. They measure it in did you last 5 years. Did you last 5 years is not beating cancer. Beating cancer is did you die of something other than cancer. That makes sense?
Right.
So my goal is to eliminate the causes of cancer. We have how many known carcinogens? I used to think it was 500 when I was first studying it was 500. I recently looked at a thing that said it's over 5,000 known causes of cancer. How many of you have heard of somebody getting cancer, walking into the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, we're going to have to find out what's causing this? We have over 5,000 known causes of cancer, and yet you walk into the doctor and he says, we got to get rid of that tumor. Okay, you get rid of the tumor, then what? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Any fireman knows if you don't get the arsonist, you're going to have another fire, aren't you? Can't tell you how many women have decided between lumpectomy and mastectomy and 3 years later had to deal with brain cancer and lymph cancer because they didn't deal with the cause of the cancer. If you have something causing the cancer, get rid of the cause of the cancer. Find out what it is. I wrote a book on that, Surviving the Toxic Crisis. One of my chapters is potential causes of cancer and where it's located and which things can cause it. Next, are there diets that can help people who have cancer? Why not go to a diet that doesn't have any arachidonic acid, which is the acid, the fatty acid that feeds fast-growing cells? Because cancer needs arachidonic acid to grow, or it doesn't grow. See, all I'm saying is let's get back to the basics of logic. Not here's the protocol, here's the thing we do, here's that. You have one of the best hospitals I've ever seen, Hoag Hospital right here. They don't just treat it three ways. They're doing vaccinations against cancer. They're doing cryotherapy, you freeze the cancer and pull it out. They're doing all kinds of things. But they're, as far as I'm concerned, the best I've ever seen in the country. And I don't care if you go all over the country. Hoag has the best results that I've seen of any cancer operation because they start treating the whole person. I think we need to take a look at all disease that way. Degenerative diseases, how are we doing on that one? Degenerative diseases affect women more often than men. The way you can tell if you're susceptible is do you tend to have low blood pressure? And most women do, below 120 over 80. In fact, Parade this last weekend put out a fascinating thing. It was an article talking about do we have gender-biased medicine? Well, any woman will tell you, of course we have gender-biased medicine. But do we have it in the areas you would think about? It says essentially women are largely excluded from tests on drugs. And yet most drugs are used on women. Interesting. And yet the woman processes in the liver drugs differently than men do, and alcohol. Women will get tipsy much quicker than a man will. So would I give her the same by body weight as I would a man? Would I give her the same drug? Do they have the same problems? Women tend to have problems, and here's what it says. Women have twice as likely to experience depression and anxiety disorders. Many more men than women abuse drugs and exploit uncontrollable violence, engage in sexual deviations, and men alcoholics outnumber women by 5-1. Men tend to be hypertensive, women tend to be hypotensive. So if I test drugs on a 180-pound white male, am I going to find that it'll work the same way on women? Absolutely not. I think women's health has been a problem for years, and I used to believe that about 80% of the calls in medical office were women. They say it's just under that, but it's much higher because women have more chronic illness. So therefore, women aren't as good at staying healthy as men, right? I mean, that's what it leads you to believe. Well, let's look at the rest of the facts. Number of women who outlive their husbands are 11 out of 12. 11 out of 12 women outlive their husbands. They live 7 years longer on an average. So whatever they're doing, guys, we ought to listen to it. Next, I know we think we're better with finances. We don't want to spend our money on what she wants to do to stay healthy. So we're going to save our money for our retirement, so we spend it in the end of our life trying to figure out how to get healthy, because we men, I don't want to work any harder or any of that money, right? It happens all the time. So, what are we looking at? Men are better with money, right? That's why 83% of the wealth is controlled and spent by women. Folks, you flunked this one. Guys, we didn't do so good on that. So if we don't know how to handle health and we don't know how to handle wealth, then we ought to listen to the women and what they're saying, which is take care of your health while you're young and you won't have to spend all the time and money doing it when you're older. What's the classic? If I knew I was going to live this old, I would have taken better care of myself. I think that's an important thing. What's the fifth highest killer in the United States? Iatrogenic disease. You know what that is? That's doctor-caused illness. Isn't that fascinating? The hospitals went on strike and the death rate went down. And that's happened a number of times. Why? Because, folks, God knows how to fix us. A lot of times we don't. There's a lot of things we do that we really don't know what we're doing. How are we doing on a fight to stop the bugs? Do bugs cause all diseases? Or what causes disease? How come you get sick in the first place? Is it genetics? Well, let's take a look at genetics. Genetics, it says heredity or lifestyle. Center for Disease Control says what percent of health is a problem with genetics? 18% is heredity. 19% is environment. That's where you live. Medical intervention is 10%, which is just behind heredity. And lifestyle is 53%. So, folks, that's 82% we control. That's a heavy, heavy thought. And that's the Center for Disease Control. Those guys really don't have a bias. That's pretty well straight numbers. It says we're in a fight to stop those deadly bugs. You've heard of flesh-eating bacteria and all these bugs and things that they can't stop. Bugs that are in the hospital, that you pick up in the hospital, that vancomycin and some of our drugs can't stop. Why is the reason for that? Well, there's a few reasons. One of them is we are using a ton of antibiotics, even for viruses. If you use an antibiotic for a virus, what's an antibiotic? Anti means against, biotic means life. So an antibiotic is something that's what? Against life. Okay, well, against life is normally called a poison. So if you're going to take a poison, wouldn't you like to know what it's killing? I would. All the recent conferences we're going to, they're warning the doctors that they should give less antibiotics and they should culture test for sensitivity to make sure the antibiotic they use is exactly for the bug that you're going after and use it only when it matches the bug and can kill it. That's what everybody's going back, all the family practice, is going back to the basics of don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. And essentially, if you call in and say, I have a cold, could you get me an antibiotic? How many of your doctors do that? A ton. Now, what is high use of antibiotics causing? High yeast infections. We're running about 100 million people with yeast infections. Isn't that interesting how that's about the same as chronic illness? Most chronic illness have some sort of systemic yeast infection, some problem going here. We've traded something here in the United States. What's knowledge without understanding? It's prejudice. Because if you don't understand what you know, then you learned it from somebody else, and then it's a prejudged condition. And if you don't even know why you judged it, it's prejudice. So if you don't know what you know, then you don't know it. Really? If you can't defend it. What's better, a prognosis or a diagnosis? Prognosis. A diagnosis is what you have, right? What's a prognosis? What you're going to have. Which one would you rather have? A prognosis. Prognosis says what you're going to have. So if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to have this disease. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to know and then tell you what you can do to avoid that disease? That's what we're working on. Because we believe that if you know what you're going to get and you can avoid it, how much easier is it to fix a train when it's on the track or to fix a train when it goes off the track? It's easier to direct when you keep it on the track. Once it goes off the track, all kinds of systems go in place, and that's the way we are. Now, if it says we can't kill all these deadly bugs, do bugs make you sick? Bugs definitely make you sicker, but do they make you sick? Let's talk about bugs for a sec. If an animal dies in the desert, and the maggots and buzzards, maggots are taking over on it and the buzzards flying overhead, do maggots and buzzards kill animals? Why are the maggots and buzzards there? The animal's dying, and the maggots and buzzards say you look like food or death. Right? And their job is to clean things up. So what do we do when we're sitting here, the maggots and buzzards are cleaning up, and we are saying, let's kill the maggots and buzzards, we'll get healthy. Does that make sense? We'll feel better. We may even get by this round of the flu or this round of the cold, but we need to find out why we're getting suppressed so much. I'm forcing us to think about some things that I think are important. What are the disease precursors? This is, you haven't got a disease yet. You know, the doctor says you're not sick, but you know you're not well. That one?
Fatigue?
Absolutely. Fatigue's a huge one.
Stress
could be a cause of fatigue. Stress, we all have stress. Sometimes you feel like it's the speed bump, and sometimes you feel like it's the Matterhorn. It's how you handle stress that counts. It's whether you're in a four-wheel drive going over like nothing, or you've got one of those low Ferrari sports cars that hits a speed bump and everything gets scraped up on the bottom. Sometimes you feel like you're dragging like a Ferrari sports car, I'll tell you. I know that. I was diagnosed with a disease called ankylosing spondylitis, which started ravaging my body in my 20s, and I was about 235 pounds. I had a big neck and big arms and, you know, big weightlifter guy. And somebody said, well, where to go? I said, I loaned it to a guy at the beach and he wouldn't give it back. When you get hit with disease, it takes it right out of you, you know? I also don't have a need to have that anymore, but I decided at the point in my life I was going to learn everything I could to keep myself out of a wheelchair, because that was the prognosis at the direction I was going, was I was gonna be in a wheelchair. So I essentially quit everything I was doing and went to school and started studying and learning everything I could, and took up the computer, the Medline, whatever I could, and started studying everything they had on disease. And I'll give you some precursors. Energy, by the way, needs to be defined. Is it mid-afternoon fatigue? Is it wake up in the morning fatigue? Is it fatigue all the time and that nausea feeling like you're kind of overrun by the bugs, or you just can't get moving? Or do you have sleepless nights and fatigue? Do you have problems going to sleep or staying asleep? See, they all differ. Their reasons differ. But you need to find that to find out if you have energy problems. Weight gain or loss. Gain, you could be holding toxic weight, diluting the poison in your body. I find a lot of that in the summertime comes out. In other words, you have chemicals that you absorb. What's the difference between you and a bug? See, a bug has no fat, and you have fat. So when you absorb chemicals and toxins, you store it in your fat, and then you slowly process it through your body. What's the bug do? The bug sits there, immediately goes to the central nervous system, within about an hour dies. So what happens to us when we store it? Our multiple chemical sensitivities. We store it in our fat, and when it gets warm, it starts releasing from the fat. We start getting sick and nauseous and feeling terrible. Every summer, I get loaded in the sauna with people trying to get the chemicals out. And every winter, you could shoot a shotgun blast through there. There's nobody there. You think the chemicals aren't there? No, because heat brings it out. Weight loss and heat will release the chemicals if they're stored in your fat. Now, what happens is our fat and our water is there to dilute the poisons so we don't feel those poisons. Isn't that interesting? So that's one of the things that can do it. A lot of time, I see people trying to lose weight. How many of you lost 20 pounds last year? All right, how many of you lost 4 pounds five times? All right. I can tell. You know, I just check, make sure everybody's here. That's what happens. And you keep losing it and keep coming back. You know why? Because there's like this set point where your body says, I'm not going to let any more poisons get into my body, and I'll hold. And you hold it on your electrolytes. If your potassium gets low, you're going to lock the kidneys. You go to edema. You go all kinds of ways to hold, not to let that happen. And a lot of people think it's just calories you eat. It's not. If it was strictly calories, a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie. And I get in fights constantly with dietitians on this. They say all calories are created equal. I go, really? Let's have a game. If a bottle of sake is full of X number of calories and a bushel basket of brown rice, which is the same thing as sake, right, base material, is full of the same amount of calories, are they the same in how the body processes them?
No.
Well, then your calorie thing falls apart, doesn't it? Because calories are without nutrients, and fiber is, as far as I'm concerned, fiber is a nutrient. It's huge. So you have problems there. What does it cause? It causes weight gain. What's the next thing it causes? Pain. Pain. And I don't mean just arthritic pain or headaches, stiff necks, those types of things, but fibromyalgia. We're designing new names. Fibromyalgia, polymyalgia, myalgia everywhere. Myalgia is just muscle pain, folks. Somebody walks in and says, you know, doc, I have an ache here and here and here and here. Okay, that's polymyalgia, multiple myalgias. It means you have multiple pains in the muscles. All we did was restate it in Latin and send it to an insurance company with a diagnosis. Did we find out why you're having the problem? That's called restating the obvious, isn't it? You walk in, hey, doc, I have high blood pressure. He says, all right, you have hypertension. Did we solve anything? No, we didn't get to the root cause. What is causing the high blood pressure? What is causing the weight gain? What is causing the hormonal imbalances, PMS and menopause and all that? What's causing it? Because if we can't answer that question, we're never going to solve it permanently. And what's the Bible say about truth? The truth will set you free. How many of you go to the same chiropractor every week for the last 84 years, and I'll tell you what, I feel so good for about a minute. And I come back, he puts it back in again. You know what, folks? If you've gone more than 6 weeks and it's not solved, that's not the solution. And there's no difference between a chiropractor putting your head in and a doctor giving you Valium to calm you down or a painkiller. Because we're still not solving the problem. You know why people have problems with their head out? They go down this freeway 70 miles an hour and somebody stops real quick. It's called whiplash. If you rode a horse when you were a kid and fell off the horse, that's a whiplash too. If you play football and put your head down with a ball and hit somebody a couple too many times, that's whiplash. Anytime you fall, you could have whiplash. And you know how to tell if you have whiplash? Sit straight up and put your head back as far as it'll go. And I'll tell you if you have whiplash. If you can't go all the way back parallel to the ceiling, you have whiplash. If you can't do that, the weight of your head's in front of your body. You want to stop osteoporosis? Osteoarthritis? Put your head on top of your bones. What's it do? I'll teach you a rule God taught me. Weight causes your bones to calcify. Lack of weight and inflammation causes your bones to decalcify. You want to save your bones? Put your head on top of your shoulders, not in front of your shoulders. If you carry in front of your shoulders, you start getting further and further in front of your shoulders and further and further and further, causing inflamed muscles, fibromyalgia. Okay, did you hear that? Because your muscles are trying to carry your head in front of your body. How much do you think your head weighs? I'll tell you what, on some days it feels heavier than that. Probably about 12 to 14 pounds, but I'll tell you what, If you can't hold a gun out very far, how long do you think you can carry your head in front of your body? And is it any wonder these people, about a month after the whiplash, start having headaches and aches in their body and their digestion doesn't work and everything else doesn't work? Some people can go up to 2 or 3 years without having a problem, not even tying it back to that car accident that wasn't resolved, because they wore this little turtleneck looking thing and that made it all well. No, it didn't. It made your muscles comfortable with your head until they got back and left it out of whack. You know what happens else happens when your mouth goes, when your head goes forward? Your jaw goes forward. Try it. Try putting your head forward, put your teeth together, and put your head back and put your teeth together. You'll discover your jaw goes forward and backwards with your head position. It's called a bilateral joint. And when your teeth don't mesh perfectly, they turn sideways. When they turn sideways, they fire muscles all throughout your body, tie up lymph, make things not work, and cause all kinds of health problems. So if I was to say the things that cause health problems, first thing is getting your head on straight. And I don't mean shrinkology. Second thing is dental work. I find more people full of toxins, and yes, everybody knows about mercury and mercury's poisonous and all that kind of stuff, and it's just a question of time before they finally figure out that that one is no longer going to fly and that'll be all cleaned up. And right now I think the only reason everybody doesn't admit it is because court cases will come out and everybody will sue everybody. So you just say, you know, they just come out with new materials and just stop doing more and more mercury until finally it's all gone. But you also have things like nickel. How many inexpensive earrings? People who have inexpensive earrings bother your ears. That's normally a nickel allergy. Now, if they take that nickel and you say, you know what, I only wear gold and silver earrings, I know I solve that one. You show up at your dentist's office and he says, you know that mercury filling you that's been, what's mercury do when it gets hot? It expands. What's it do when it gets cold? Contracts. What happens when you put a puddle of that in the middle of your tooth, expanding and contracting every time you have ice and coffee? Sooner or later it cracks your tooth, right? I'm expanding and contracting mercury. If you don't believe that happens, look at a thermometer when it gets cold and hot. Honest, folks, I will not lie to you. This is straight science. Now, when I expand and contract until I crack that tooth, what happens? I then have to cut the top of the tooth off and the side of it, and I make a thing that looks like a tree trunk. And then I take a crown and put it on top of it, right? What kind of crown do? Well, I have porcelain, right? What's the little band around the bottom? Nickel. Same stuff that's in the earring. And that nice lady who was doing so well till she got that put in her mouth starts now having digestive problems, endometriosis, urinary tract problems. Why? Because she's allergic to nickel and it's coming through her digestive tract and her urinary tract. Now, if you're really allergic to nickel, you can go all the way into lymph problems, arthritis, pain, fibromyalgia, and all that coming straight off that crown. And if I take that nickel crown and I put it on the old mercury filling, because I cleaned the top off, but I still left a little puddle in there, I put it on. What happens when you put nickel on top of mercury? What's it make? Well, I'll give you some precursors here. If you take nickel and put it with zinc, it'll run your transistor radio through the entire World Series. If you take nickel and put it with cadmium that's right below zinc on the periodic table, it's called a NiCad battery. Do you know what that runs? You know that car phone? NiCad battery, rechargeable battery. If you take nickel and put it with mercury that's right below cadmium, that's why they call it a heavy metal, because it goes 65 pounds, 113 pounds, 200 pounds, that's heavier, that makes the battery that runs your watch for 4 years, the little one. Okay? And I just put that in your mouth. Now, if an acupuncturist can take a needle and put it in somewhere in your body and control pain and blood flow and do surgery in some countries, what do you think a crazy acupuncturist putting voltage through the root of your teeth into your body is going to do? Do you think we can shut down some systems? I'll tell you how much we shut down systems. Cause prostate problems, cause pain in the low back, cause kidney problems, cause headaches, cause migraine, cause a feeling of tension. I've had people pick up radio stations. And they say to me, how could you possibly pick up a radio station? It's easy, you just made a battery. And if you put that between there and another battery, you got a field, so you have inductance, capacitance going there, and you got saliva in your mouth, so you actually have a fluid that transports. Why can't you make a battery? Anyway, those are some of the big causers of sickness in the United States as far as toxic suppressors. Does it affect our hormones and things? Sure it does. If I have zinc, which makes progesterone and testosterone, which are in low supply nowadays, because cadmium, which is in cigarettes, suppresses zinc. And mercury, which is in filling, suppresses zinc. So we wonder why we're zinc deficient? And we also farm our foods out of land until there's not enough minerals in the soil to give us our zinc in the foods. So we end up low on progesterone and testosterone. Isn't that interesting? We also go low on oils. What kind of oils? Well, gamma-linolenic acid is required to make progesterone and testosterone. And we go low on that because we made hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oils. Right? Partially hydrogenated oils and hydrogenated oils will not properly make progesterone and estrogen because it's like putting in something that will not mate. It's like the hydrogen is already bound on it, so it can't bond anymore. That's what hydrogenation does. So it is inert oil, which in fact can't digest by your gallbladder anymore. And do we have a problem digesting oils in this country? 35% of you will die without a gallbladder. Number one surgery of both sexes. Now, women are much higher surgery on losing their ovaries, but the number one surgery of both sexes is the gallbladder surgery. Actually, there's another surgery that's number one, but we don't talk about it. We take out the wisdom teeth. Now, what is the wisdom in that? See, we think we know better than God does. Because wisdom teeth are these big gnarly teeth that are way in the back and they don't chew food. So we go, guess what? You don't need them. And besides, we're going to make your mouth look like, I don't know, Twiggy or whatever. We're going to make it look like Barbie doll, right? We're going to give everybody perfect teeth and put them all in the perfect place. What happens when you remove the wisdom teeth? Remember I told you how important it is for that jaw to actually mesh right where it is? You just took out the hinges. Those are the hinges that make that jaw land properly. You think God didn't know what he was doing? Those big gnarly teeth were not made to chew food. They were made to keep your bite balance. Because when they go off, your trigeminal nerve, which is right here, goes off. And you know what that does? That tightens up a system around your neck, going down your neck and your spinal cord, called your meningeal system. You've heard of spinal meningitis? And when that tightens up on you, you know what happens? You can get headache, neck ache, low back ache, kidney problems, anything from here to here. And you know how many people I know who have reactivities from here to here all the time? You get hypoglycemic, you'll have those tightnesses. You get allergy, you have them. You get microorganisms in you, fungal infections, yeast infections, any of the toxicology, it can cause that to tighten up, and then you have a stiff neck and low back, and then later on it clears. And then you eat and it comes back, and stiff neck, low back. Headache after meals. Why? Because the meningeal system's contracting. Find a lot more disease tied up in that. Skin, hair, and nails. Does it show up there? Absolutely. How about mood, depression, and brain fog, anger, mood swings, things like that? Do you know when they did a study on 1,320 people, the two number one and two things that they had who had mercury, when they removed the mercury, you know what the number one and two things that changed were? 73% of them said their anger cleared up. Every woman in America says, thank God. Where do I get that? You know, it's interesting. You know how men cry? Very loudly, they scream. And women scream by crying. It's different communication. Women cry rather than scream, and men scream rather than cry. Now, not 100%. I know that. But it's true. What happens is anger and mood swings change. 73% of the people who got their mercury fillings out of their body changed. 72% depression stopped. Boy, I gotta tell you something, there's a huge market of MAO inhibitors that would be in deep yogurt if they figured that one out. So, what else? Brain fog. Any of you walk into a room and go, now why am I here? Somebody calls on the phone, you go, now what was I doing before that phone call? It's when you drive down the freeway and go, now where was I going? That's when we all get scared. Or did I pass the exit? Or It's there. I think I can make it. That's the one I'm afraid of. Never be next to somebody who's really just past their exit. Another one, digestion, gas, bloat, constipation, diarrhea. 40 million people have constipation. Oh, we don't have a problem, though, do we? Why do so many people have health problems? We already said it's not genetics. Toxins, toxicology, certain amount of it. And we just talked about some of that. Deficiencies, in a lot of ways. But have you ever listened to, if you say to your doctor, I'm going to take multiple vitamins, is that okay? What do they normally say? They don't care. You know, it's expensive urine. Yeah. Right? Do whatever you want. Knock yourself out. I don't think it's dangerous. Right? I've done a lot of studying. It can be dangerous, and it can be helpful. I'm going to share with you how and why before we're done. How about microbes? Well, we talked about that, the bug theory. Bugs don't make you sick, bugs make you sicker. How do you really get sick then? The toxins over here and the deficiencies over here on a genetic weakest link. If the toxins get too high and the deficiencies get too low, what happens? You look sick to the bugs, and what do the bugs do? Their job is to clean up the mess. The key is don't look sick and dying. Stay alive as long as you're alive. That's the key. To die at as late in life as possible, as healthy as possible. That's the key. Okay, so the other thing that can throw it off, as I said, is alignment. And I am big on structure. I do not believe that most chiropractors know how to fix a whiplash. I believe they know how to adjust you side to side. A whiplash is your neck forward, backward motion. And I know that they have not tied it in with getting the bite right, so the bite matches the head, so that when you go to sleep, you don't put your teeth together, brucks, and throw your head out, so by the morning, you're all tied up again after you just got adjusted. If you're doing that, you're wasting your time. You have to get the teeth to match the bite. Fair? Now, when you were adjusted at your dentist last time, what position was your head in? Okay, laying flat, right? So you're now all adjusted for a coffin. Right? See, you have to be adjusted for the real world. You have to be adjusted standing up, sitting, turning your head, all kinds of things, so your teeth actually work. And you know how most people adjust? If you have a high spot that hits, they cut the high spot off. Folks, you don't want to cut the high spot off. You want to bring in the valley so it fits. But that takes longer because you've got to fit it in. And that locks your jaw in to stabilize your trigeminal nerves, which controls this whole area. Okay? Oh, I know. I made it sound so simple. It only cost me a gazillion dollars and years to learn what I just told you. But if you listen to what I just told you, it is huge in health. And it doesn't take much to fix it. Okay, so what other things? I've got the dental work, I've got the whiplash bite balance, the chemicals, pesticides, radiation, the battery effect, microbes, toxic, calorie-rich nutrients. What happens when we eat content-free food, calorie-rich, content-free food? Does it make you healthy so the bugs don't think you're sick? The standard American diet, the SAD diet, makes you look sick to bugs. It does. And we knew we were doing it because back in the 1800s, we started taking the nutrients out of food. First time you took wheat and ground it down and put it in a silo and just left the flour, and the bugs wouldn't live in it because they couldn't get enough nutrients. That was an early indicator we're in deep yogurt. Because if the bugs can't live, who else can? See, that's the problem. So because now we couldn't use bacteria rising. You know when it talks about a little leaven in the Bible? It's not talking about yeast. It's talking about bacterial rising. Never was yeast used in the Bible. Bacteria that fermented overnight made the bread rise, and then you cooked it in the morning. Yeast came in the mid-1800s when the Fleischmanns had to bring over a very strong form of yeast to make the bread rise because it's the only way you can make nutrient-free, content-free bread rise was to use a fermenting agent that was so strong that it was yeast. And at that time, cancer rates started increasing because a cell that ferments is called cancer. Our cells are respiratory, and that's the way we should be. Now, so we've taken the nutrients out of the grains. Now, have you ever seen on the side of a cereal box it says vitamin enriched? Why did they do that? They did it because they couldn't sell it for food if it wasn't vitamin enriched. Do you know that when you take things like puffed rice and eat them, they've actually done studies that for every amount of protein that you get out of the puffed rice, you lose somewhere between 3 and 6 times protein out of your body just processing that? That's why you can't eat it all. You eat and eat and eat and never get satisfied. So we keep overeating and we keep putting on weight, we get toxic, and we hold water and all that stuff because our body can't handle it. So what did mankind do? They synthetically decided to make nutrients, right? And vitamins. Okay, let's play a game. We'll go to B vitamins. That's a pretty easy one because that's in the grains. What's B1? Thiamine. B2, riboflavin. B3, niacin. Okay, what's B4? Gotcha, don't I? Well, I don't know, but it's B4, B5, isn't it? How about B5? Pantothenic acid, which is good for energy. B6, oh, that's for your carpal tunnel syndrome and your menstrual stuff, right? Okay, what's B7? How about B8? How about B9? B10? B11? What's going on here? We have all these B vitamins and you don't know what they are. Do you think somebody knows what they are? Why don't you know what they are? I'll give you the answer. Because we can't synthesize them. You only know the vitamins we can synthesize. So if I give you B1, which helps with sugar handling, and I give you B2, which helps with the kidneys and a lot of things, and I give you B3, which causes you to flush and get a big flush and flush all kinds of stuff, niacin, and I give you B12 and folic acid, that pretty well took care of all your B vitamins, right? What's B13? How about 14? How about 15? I'll tell you how cool some of these B vitamins you've never heard of are. B15 is called pangamic acid. The Russians figured out that if they could get a whole group of it together and give it to their athletes, they could win races, and they were giving it to their races when their athletes were beating us for the last X years. Pangamic acid, B15. What's B16? I'll tell you what, what's B17? Have you ever heard of Laetril? Oh, that's for treating cancer. No, it isn't. It's God made the vitamin. It's B17. And it's not a bomber. It's a vitamin. Now, if we have all these vitamins that you know and ones you don't know, and we take synthetic vitamins, are we throwing ourselves out on the ones we don't know? I see more and more people taking more and more vitamins, getting sicker and sicker. You walk into the health food store, if you don't believe me. They look sick and gaunt, don't they? They don't look like the healthiest folks in the chess game, do they? You want to find sick-looking people, go to the health food store. Why? Because they're imbalancing their bodies, taking all these synthetic, isolated nutrients that in the beginning get a pharmacological effect and make them feel good, and in the long term throw their body out of whack. And the doctors say, look, at a minimum, come off the vitamins about every month or every other month just to clear your liver out for a week. Have you ever heard anybody say that about food? No, synthetic vitamins are a problem. I'll give you another thing. I mean, synthetic vitamins made by a pharmaceutical company. That's also a drug company. Hoffmann La Roche is one of the biggest out of Germany. But there's a number of them. Let's take another one. Vitamin C and vitamin E, those are antioxidants, right? Antioxidants protect you from those raspy oxidizing agents. By the way, without oxidants, you die, just so everybody gets that clear. So antioxidants, you really better make sure they're the right ones and they're doing the right thing. Let's play with antioxidants a little bit. Antioxidants, in nature, vitamin C is not ascorbic acid. It's ascorbic acid plus bioflavonoids, and they're normally matched with a mineral, in that case copper, and it's all mixed together as a molecule. And what we do when we synthetically make it is we pull corn and we pull off ascorbic acid and we give you that and call that vitamin C. Do you know what that is? That's the antioxidant portion of vitamin C, but that is not the balanced molecule. And let me tell you how it affects the body. You know what ascorbic acid does to the body? You ever heard the word chelate? Chelate. What is a chelate? Chelate is it grabs minerals or heavy metals and pulls them out of the body. High-dose vitamin C is an antihistamine. You ever get a cold or flu, take a lot of vitamin C and it went away? You know why? Because you did an antihistamine reaction, which means you stopped the histamine reaction, and the histamine was coming out to fight whatever was in your body, and you stopped it using vitamin C. So far, it did the same thing Dristan does, doesn't it? But we thought we were doing something better because Linus Pauling and vitamin C, right? Let's go to the next step. They have new articles out here which say high-dose vitamin C can be dangerous and toxic and cause all kinds of problems. Why would they start saying that about a nice thing like vitamin C? Because we've discovered if you have an Epstein-Barr virus, which by the way is not the key to chronic fatigue, it did not cause chronic fatigue, it happened to come about because what do the bugs do? They come in when you're sick and dying, right? Epstein-Barr, cytomegalus, all these things coming in, yes, they make you sicker, they're not the reason you got sick. The reason you got sick is whatever brought your immune system down to allow them to get the upper hand. That's what made you sick. Now, do you know what fights virus? Copper and lysine. If you don't believe it, I'll teach you. I always like starting where we understand. If mucus is white and clear, what's that mean? Means you have an allergy, right? Mucus turns yellow, what's it mean? You have an infection. When mucus gets really gnarly and turns green, what's it mean? Nasty infection, and we're trying to get rid of it, right? Okay, all the minerals, think of the colors of the minerals. What mineral turns from gold yellow to green when it oxidizes?
Copper.
Now, if you've got a heavy virus, what you say you get hit by a flu, and you start taking high doses of vitamin C, ascorbic acid, and lysine, which both grab copper, right? In the beginning, you start getting over the hump and start getting over the flu a little bit, and start feeling a little better, right? Until the vitamin C and the lysine take all the copper out of your body stores, your copper stores. And then what happens? You now have the entire army with all the guns aimed and no ammunition because copper was your ammunition. You don't believe that's your ammunition? You've heard of colloidal silver? Ever look at the periodic table? It actually goes copper, silver, gold. Colloidal silver is good for being antimicrobial, antiviral, antibacterial, right? You've probably heard about that in the health food store. It's anti-everything, which means when it comes in and kills your protective bacteria, you could have a yeast infection when it's done. Gold, if you have arthritis and you take injections of gold, what's it do? It kills the bugs in you and it can help solve arthritis. Copper bracelets can help solve arthritis because it kills the bugs. That column is for killing the bugs. If you don't believe it, if your pool gets full of algae and you go to the pool company and say, I would like a treatment for my algae to get because it overgrew, what do they give you? They give you a choice, copper or silver. One is a blue thing, you pour it in all around your pool, that's the copper, it goes in and kills the microbes in there, whether they're bacteria or whether they're fungus. Isn't that fascinating? So God knew what he was doing in the first place. And when we go and synthesize so much vitamin C that we take 8,000, 9,000 vitamin C, what are we gonna do when we take that kind of milligrams? We're going to pull the minerals out of our body. At the same time, we're going to detoxify ourselves by taking distilled water, aren't we? Well, what do you think that does? You put a vacuum of distilled water and it pulls all your minerals out of your body. You wonder why we're tired yet? Do you know what minerals do in your body? That's the electrical circuits. If you blow the fuses in your house, does anything work? That's exactly what's going on when you lose your minerals. We call it electrolytes.
This is the end of Side A.